Well, more so just grading where both teams are at here. And I'll start with the Mets because the Mets are in a better position, being that they're just a half game back in second place in the NL East. And I would give them a better grade for the first half than I would the Yankees. I would give the Mets an A for their first half. And, you know, you got to be an A+. That's what you need to be if you want to win a division, you want to go out there and win a World Series. But everything right there in front of both these teams, and I hate to even use that word, you know, Booney uses it all the time, everything right there in front of us, it is. And all the complaining and all the ups and downs that we have throughout the course of a season, oh, this team stinks, it's a rough stretch, this guy can't hit, this guy can't catch, this guy can't pitch. Here we are with both teams in a good spot. But the reason why I would give the Mets an A is because think about all that they've overcome in this first half leading up to the All-Star break and where they're at in comparison to that. It's easy to forget the expectations coming into the year. The expectations were that the Mets were going to be a playoff team, sure. But did anybody expect that Atlanta would be buried 12 and a half games out of first place going into the All-Star break? Did anybody expect that the Mets would be right there neck and neck with the Phillies for the division lead? I don't think that that's the case. I think most people, especially after the injuries to the starting rotation, I think most people thought the Mets were the third best team in the division. All right, if things went right, could they be second? Maybe they could win it, sure, but with the way that things were going, with the pitching being banged up basically right out of the gate, I don't think anybody would expect this. And you've seen the Mets overcome not just the injuries to the rotation, losing the majority of, I mean, think about it. The Mets lost two-fifths of their rotation right out of the get-go with Montas and Minaya, and then Senga for a period, you know, Canning and McGill, all that they have taken on, not to mention the bullpen with A.J. Minter going down. And all the stuff that they've dealt with in the bullpen, that's just one name, you know, Budo being out or not being as effective, whatever. The Mets have dealt with a lot with that rotation, as have other teams, Yankees as well. We'll get to them in just a sec. But the Mets have dealt with a lot with the starting pitching. Oh, and by the way, their lineup has not carried them the way that we expected them to do so. Whether it be Vientos, whether it be Alvarez, whether it be Juan Soto. And you know I love Soto more than most, and you know why. It's not just, oh, he has a fanboy crush on Soto. Yeah, well, there's a reason for it. Because he's a beast. Because he's great. Now, what was the most appealing thing about Juan Soto throughout the course of his career, whether it goes back to the 2019 postseason, whether you saw it with the Yankees last year, whatever it may be, whenever you saw Soto, it's his ability to perform in the biggest of spots. And in baseball, the biggest spots are with guys on base. And Juan Soto has been god-awful with runners in scoring position. If he were Juan Soto with runners in scoring position, maybe the Mets would be A+ and in first place right now, even with all the injuries that they've taken on in their starting rotation. So while things are very good, and you have to be happy and satisfied if you're a Mets fan with where they're at right now, just a half game back at the Phillies as we reach the All-Star break. You know, winning 2 out of 3. Okay, the loss yesterday, a little annoying, but winning 2 out of 3 after losing the double dip to the Orioles the other day. The Mets weathered the storm from mid-June on and survived. And things are only going to get better. And I think an A is a more than fair grade for this team, all things considered. Expectations going in, what has gone on as far as the lack of performance, the injury, all that stuff. Taking on the water during those, you know, the 10-game stretch with the Braves and Phillies where it was looking like people were going to give up on the Mets. Oh, maybe they're not even going to be a playoff team. This team isn't legit. All of that. And here they are just a half game back of the Phillies in a very good spot. But there's more to be had. And to me, the biggest failure of the first half would, in fact, be Juan Soto with runners in scoring position. Because look at the Mets overall, right? Oh, they pitched enough. I mean, for an extended period, they had the best ERA, team ERA, in all the sport. And they've taken on so many injuries, now just getting Senga back again, getting Minaya back for the first time yesterday. Now you can envision having Montas back in that rotation. Now you can envision what it was supposed to look like, assuming those guys stay healthy in the second half. But their biggest issue in the first half was the lack of production with runners in scoring position. As a team, the biggest culprit of that was Juan Soto. And he's going to have to do more. So while we could look at his June and you could look at his numbers and we could say, well, April and May, and even though, you know, Juan, you know, it wasn't typical Juan Soto, it's still better than most. Look at the OPS. Look at the on base. Juan Soto is expected to do more, not just because of his contract, because he's always done more. I'm not talking about the power numbers or just the OPS specifically. I'm talking about driving in runners or producing with runners in scoring position. And that was the one constant all first half, even when he was on fire in June. A lot of solo homers in there. A lot of tack-on homers in there. It's not nitpicking. This is reality. Juan Soto with runners in scoring position has been awful. He's supposed to thrive in those situations. So while you take an A, while you take where the Mets are at this All-Star break, you're going to need more from Juan Soto. As for the Yankees, 888-808-1019, I'd give the Yankees a B, which I think is fair. You could go B-minus. Maybe some of you go B-plus. I still think there's a lot more with the Yankees. Whereas the Mets, it's a little, all right, yeah, you got to get healthier here and have Soto produce runners in scoring position. I'm not sure how many more levels there are to the Mets. I do think the Yankees have a couple of levels to them. You started to see flashes of that against Seattle. And then what happens? They get away from that against the Cubs. And again, the offense goes and hides for a game or two. And that just can't happen. The inconsistencies with the Yankees are maddening because they should be better. And maybe even a bigger part of it is not just the guys that are performing at an inconsistent level, but the way that they're being utilized. It just doesn't make any sense. I get it, Boone, facing a lefty, and he's going to throw out there the right-handed lineup, which means Dominguez is not going to be in the leadoff spot, which means the Yankees aren't going to have as potent of an offense. It is what it is. The inconsistencies defensively, at times it's like, wow, look at this ball club. They're playing clean, crisp baseball. And at other times, you see yesterday, a major league shortstop making minor league plays in Anthony Volpe. That can't happen. Like, that's minor league stuff. Or Dominguez against the Mets in left field making, you know, errors that should not. And look, mistakes happen. Errors happen in the big leagues. It's just part of the game. But there are certain ones that should not be happening. And the Yankees, far too often, the catcher's interference nonsense, playing guys out of position. I mean, it's hard to give the Yankees more than a B when they finally, with six games to go ahead of the break, finally acknowledged that they were playing their best second baseman at third base. Then they finally came to the realization they'd be better off without DJ LeMahieu. Now, you take a B, especially the way things were going for the last few weeks, only two games back of the Blue Jays, but don't look now. All of a sudden, the Boston Red Sox, the team that I told you I would fear most in the American League East, this was even with the Blue Jays taking over the Yanks and even with the Rays being what they were, the Red Sox were the one team that I said, I think that's the one legit team or the one team that has a legit chance to knock off the Yankees in the AL East. I still think the Yankees are going to end up winning the division. I just think they're too good, and I think the other teams have too many flaws. But the one team that would worry me, and this is where it really started for the Yanks, to go in the wrong direction. When they got swept by the Red Sox in Fenway, and I came out on that Monday, I was like, dude, this is not good. BT's like, oh, no, not a big deal at all. I'm not worried at all. I'm like, I don't know. What are we, like, we got into a fight saying, what are you watching? He was saying that to me. I was saying that to him. And what I was watching was a team that showed significant flaws and letting the Red Sox off the mat. Well, the Red Sox have won 10 straight going into the break now on a heater, just one game behind the Yankees. Both teams with the same amount of wins. Think about that for a second. So with the way the Red Sox closed their first half or going to the All-Star break and with the way the Yankees have played over the last several weeks, I mean, there is reason for concern. And both those teams are looking up at the Blue Jays. Judge is otherworldly. You would expect that to continue, of course. Cody Bellinger finally coming into his own as a Yankee, going nuts on Friday night. But just overall, playing the brand of baseball that we wanted to see from the Yankees. Bellinger, terrific in the field, terrific on the bases, and obviously a good hitter, now really starting to perform offensively for the Yanks. Stanton coming back healthy. Okay, I don't love John Carlos Stanton, but he's still a threat. So a lot of, the Yankees, you could make the case with the rotation being banged up, obviously the way that it is with Gerrit Cole and then Clark Schmidt going down, but there's more there as well with Luis Gil on his way back. Carlos Rodon pitching his way to an All-Star game. It was terrific his last time out against the Cubs. So there's a lot of good there, but there's much more room for the Yankees to grow here in the second half. And they have to be more consistent. And that starts with the organization on down. Whether it's Cashman, whether it's Boone, and whether it's the players. And it's not just about getting a third baseman. It's about the way that they need to evaluate how or what they want to be. You know, Cole brought this up a couple weeks back about Boone, saying next time you guys get him on, ask him this question. What would an Aaron Boone team look like in his mind? Well, I mean, we're watching a team that's all over the place. They've got great power at times. They've got great speed when they're on base and able to use it. They can play some defense depending on which team you throw out there. They've got versatility, but is it, does that hurt the consistency when you're moving the lineup around? What are the Yankees trying to be exactly? Are they trying to be a team that's just going to mash you and bludgeon you? The bully ball? Well, they've done that. And is that good enough to, forget about win the World Series, win a division? Even with all that, though, you still have to feel comfortable with where both these teams are at going into the All-Star break. We could nitpick and we could say they need this and they need that, and they do. And they'll make trades and what pieces would be the right fit. Third baseman, bullpen arms. I mean, obviously the bullpen falling apart for both these teams. Yankees even maybe more alarming with the way that Luke Weaver had looked the last couple of weeks or so. You know, Devin Williams has righted the ship there. Loáisiga has been awful for them. Yankees are going to need at least an arm or two in the pen. I think the Mets need at least one legit arm and probably two arms overall, even with getting some guys back healthy. Both these teams will be fighting for similar pieces. I don't think the Mets are going to go looking for a third baseman. I would not. You know the Yankees are going to do that. But starting pitching, bullpen, you heard Brian Cashman say it. You know, it's always pitching. It's always pitching. But that's why I think the Yankees have a little bit less of a grade going in right now. I expected more. We always grade based off of the expectations versus results. And I think the Mets have exceeded expectations, being just a half game back going to the All-Star break in their division with all that they have taken on. I think they've exceeded expectations. Now, this is not holding the Mets to a lower standard. It's just the reality coming into the season. Going the rest of the way, the Mets are going to be expected to be one of the teams to compete to win a World Series. Will they do that? We'll find out. But they have exceeded expectations, at least in my mind, going into the All-Star break. Whereas the Yankees have not. They've underperformed for a variety of reasons. And that's why I'd give them a lower grade. But think about it. Both these baseball teams, the ups and downs, the roller coaster emotion of what we had for the first half with both. And it shows you, and we talked about this, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago now, where the way that we evaluate these teams, yeah, it was last Monday, I think, the way that we evaluate these teams has to change. Because on a constant day-to-day basis, it's nice to have a benchmark now going into the All-Star break saying, okay, here it is clear and concise. 4 days off, going to the All-Star game tomorrow night, you know, whatever, home run derby tonight, if that does it for you, here's where both teams are at. And it's nice to assess that and look at what needs to be done the rest of the way to go win a World Series, which is each of their goals. But the roller coaster of emotions with both, whether it be individual players, whether it be the teams overall, I mean, it's a wild ride, and then it ends up kind of where you're both okay with it. You know, the Yankees should not have blown that first place lead. They were hanging on, and then Toronto just took it to them head-to-head. So that's where you're really disappointed there. Probably knocks a, you know, full grade off, or at least, you know, could have been a B+, A-, something like that. And I give out tough grades. I mean, I'm sorry. What can I tell you? I'm a difficult person to please, just like my wife. I, too, have high standards. But the emotions of a baseball season, man, the way we react to each and every one of these games night in, night out, sometimes it's too much. It feels like the world's, oh, no, how could the Yankees lose 4 in a row to Toronto? It's over. Some would even say they should sell. But you never want to go there. Poor PT. He can't defend himself this week on vacation. You never want to go there. You want to try to keep it even. This is me saying it. Like, that's why I would get mad at Soto not performing the first couple of months, sure. But overall, big picture, you know it's going to be fine. Same thing with the Yankees. You know it's going to be fine. Now, to what degree could the Yankees not win the division? And if that doesn't happen, I think that's a problem. The Yankees don't win the AL East. And you could just say, and maybe the Yankees would say this, well, you know, you just got to get in and take your chances. Sure, understood. And the Yankees would have as good a chance of anybody. But you don't want to have that extra round of the playoffs. You don't want to be able, you want to be able to set everything up. You got to win the division. And for the Mets, they haven't won a division in 10 years, for goodness sake. It's not just about getting in. I guess we could worry about that when we get there. Both these teams, though, in a great spot heading into the All-Star break. And still, the hopes and dreams of a Subway Series World Series right there in front of us. 888-808-1019. Just getting started on this Monday morning. BT and Sal. BT on vacation this week, so it's just me. We have a lot of special stuff planned for you here. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ray is in Waterbury, Connecticut, starting us off. What's up, Ray?
Hi, Sal. Great monologue. You're right on with the Mets. They actually overachieved. With all those injuries, and absolutely decimated pitching to be a half a game out. All these analysts overlook the Mets. All you hear is Philly, all the Phillies. The Phillies got better pitching. Phillies, you know what? Except for the last series, Phillies have trouble beating us, Sal.
Yeah, well, no, I
get
it.
But
Ray, I don't think it was just I don't think it was just about the Phillies coming into the year. It was the Phillies and Braves. Well, one of those teams have already been eliminated. I mean, where are all the people who kept saying, "Oh, Sal, you lost. You can't say the Braves are dead." Where are they now? As the Braves, they didn't gain any ground in the last 4 weeks. They're going backwards. They're done. The Atlanta Braves are toast. They've already limited. You're not worried about the Marlins. It's a two-team race in the National League East, and any Met fan, Ray, would have signed up for that to start the year.
Right, right, Sal. The Mets make the proper trades at the deadline. They win that division, Sal.
Well, I mean, that's going to be the next step, and thank you for the call, Ray, and for the kind words. That will be the next step here. What moves, you know, who will be the aggressor? We know Brian Cashman is going to be aggressive. We know that. That's built in. Will David Stearns and Steve Cohen be aggressive? I believe that we will see the most aggressive Mets deadline in quite some time. I mean, I don't recall. Maybe 2015, you know, ahead of the deadline when they brought in Kelly Johnson and Uribe and then got Cespedes. Maybe that would be the last time that they were that level of aggressive. You know, certainly not what happened in 2022 with Darren Ruff and Daniel Vogelback, where the Mets were kind of, we'll be all right. We'll just add a little bit here. And no, it doesn't work like that. They needed to be aggressive. Now, you could argue what moves were, you know, there to be made. You know, even more so than the Javi Baez, the one that you wish you could have back with Pete Crow Armstrong. That was aggressive, sure, but not to the level that it was in 2015 and not to the level of what it needs to be this year. Richard is in Stratford, Connecticut. What's up, Richard?
I'm so glad to talk to you, especially since BT's not there to defend the Yankees. I'm a huge Yankee fan, and I got to tell you, they can go out and get the best third baseman available, the best bullpen arms, the best starting pitching, and I think they can't win a division, let alone World Series, until they do something about Volpe. He should be back in the minor leagues.
He's been a problem,
he's
Richard.
He's not ready.
He's been a problem. He's regressed. Now, Cashman was defiant. I'm sure you saw the quotes from Cashman the other day after he was addressing the media after the Yanks moved on from DJ LeMahieu finally. And he said he's our shortstop. So you're going to live or die with Anthony Volpe. Now, it's not good. And the defense is where you really, like, it's almost to a point, Richard, where you'd accept less than offense from Volpe, but you need him to shore up the defense. What he did yesterday, two times, but specifically on that ball that he let play him where he's backing off of it, that's minor league stuff. You can't have that happen at the big league level.
Can I throw one thing in there?
Yeah.
I think if he went down to the minors, if you're not getting offense from shortstop, you need defense. You put Peraza at short, which is his natural position, and he might even hit better because he's in his natural position, and you send Volpe down. You'd be so much better defensively with Peraza at shortstop.
Yeah, he's the better defensive player, and thank you for the call, Richard. Glad to let you vent your thoughts about Volpe and the Yankees here. I don't think it's significant enough to prevent the Yankees from winning a division. Now, prevent them from winning a World Series, that's a different story. You can't, and maybe it is going to be significant enough to prevent them from winning a division. You can't have a shortstop that plays defense the way Volpe has regressed to playing defense. I'm sorry. End of story. That play yesterday, it just can't happen. Now, whatever. On the bad throw to Goldschmidt, the one that bounced, Goldschmidt had to come off the bag, and then he fired late to home. Those things happen. If it were that in isolation, wouldn't be a huge deal. But the one that he just sits back and lets the ball play him, like, that's minor league stuff. Minor league stuff from Volpe. They cannot get away with that from their shortstop and expect to win a World Series. You're right. I don't care if they had bullpen arms or a third baseman. That can't happen. The hope is that it corrects itself. But the Yankees now have been waiting 3 years for Volpe to reach his full potential, what they believed he could be, and it hasn't happened. And they're still just waiting for it to correct itself as opposed to holding him accountable and sending him down. I don't know if that would ruin him or wake him up, But this can't continue. For now, we're starting with the first half. And for me, I'd give the Yankees a B. I'd give the Mets an A on their first half. Again, we grade based on results versus expectation, where I think the Mets really just missing right now. Obviously, they got to get healthier and add. But for the first half goes, they were missing Juan Soto producing with runners in scoring position. For me, with the Yankees, missing a little bit more than that. The lack of consistency. Even an example yesterday, forget the Volpe bad defense, although I'm sure you're going to want to call and talk about that. 888-808-1019. Even yesterday, just the lineup. Like, the Yankees front office and Boone, and this is how it goes. Now, I don't know this, I'm assuming this. Because I've heard from other accounts over the years of how it works with the front office collaborating with the lineup. The front office and the data people give the info to the staff, and then they decide what they want to do with it, fill out the lineup. Okay, great. So the data people and analytics, they'll say, okay, here are all the numbers. Here's what you want to do with it. And then Boone looks at it and probably says, okay, well, the numbers are saying, well, we got to go, it's a lefty today. We got to go right-handed heavy. That means Dominguez out of the leadoff spot, just for starters. And they put the lineup out there that the paper, the math says, it's supposed to go out there and rake. But in reality, it doesn't. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes, sure, you get a favorable matchup and it works. Hey, you know what? We played this guy or we pinch hit this guy here because we like the matchup and it works. Sometimes it doesn't. That's why it shows you it can't always be, well, this is what the math said. Hey, this is what the data said. It said to start all these guys. It said to move Dominguez down because he struggled right-handed. It said that. And I'll take it a step further. If you need to do that with your leadoff hitter, then he shouldn't be your leadoff hitter. If your best option at leadoff, and that's what it is with Dominguez, can't hit against left-handed pitching, then he shouldn't be your best option at leadoff. Go get a leadoff hitter. Not to mention the limitations at left field. Like, the Yankees have versatility, and they have really good options and can be a deep team. But they also have limitations and weaknesses with certain lineups, whether it is Dominguez in the outfield, whether it is lack of versatility from Giancarlo Stanton, meaning that if you're going to get his bat in the lineup, that threat of a bat, now you're taking away a spot from somebody else. And if you're going to bench him to get somebody else in there, you can't do anything else with him. Not to mention Volpe at shortstop, whether it's Dominguez right-handed. There are some issues there. Now, again, issues to what degree? But I do think that the division... See, here may be a why you get the two grades. And it took me about 30 minutes to figure this out. Many people did not expect the Mets to win the division. And they're right there, going to the All-Star break. Almost everybody expected the Yankees to win the division. And they're two games back with the Red Sox nipping at their heels. They're both looking up at the Blue Jays. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Kevin is in Shrewsbury, New Jersey. What's up, Kev?
How we doing, my friend?
Good. How are you, Kev?
I'm doing well, thank you. Listen, I wanted to call in. You kind of hit the nail on the head. The front office with the Yankees is just an absolute joke. It's the same thing year after year. Definition of insanity, expecting different results after doing the same exact thing. They have done the absolute least with the most resources of any team in any sport. And some people might say the Cowboys, but there's no salary cap in baseball. You say, oh, the tax threshold. They are the most revenue-generating team in the history of professional sports. And yet, they refuse to do the right things on the offseason deadline, whatever you want to call it. George has rolled over so many times in his grave watching his son run the team, he would have put out all the California wildfires by himself.
Well, give me the example, Kevin. Can you give me one example of a move that you wanted them to make that they did not?
First one, prime example. They did not even offer Bryce Harper a contract because they had Giancarlo.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's a good one. No, it's a good example. It's a good one. And I'm not saying I disagree with you. I just wanted you to give me one that you were upset with, and thank you for the call. Now, that you can trace back to 2018, which is where I began questioning this regime. Now, I know that's the first year of Boone, but I'm talking about Brian Cashman. The Yankees, if you go back, and you know, hate to go back, and you know, okay, well, if they did this or this. Yeah, but all those different things that they did back then lead to where we are today. Their argument's going to be, yeah, you knucklehead, we were in the World Series a year ago, so we're glad we made all those moves back then because we got to the World Series last year. And I would argue and say, yeah, but you should have won multiple World Series already. 2016, the Yankees did the right thing. They identified themselves as sellers. What? The New York Yankees selling? How could this be? What is happening? They were right. Didn't have it that year in 2016. Sell. Rebuild. Baby Bombers 2017, no expectations, but we were all excited to see what the young players could do. And of course, they exceeded all expectations, led by Aaron Judge, getting to Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. From that point on, they started to chase, starting with the Giancarlo Stanton trade. They didn't need Stanton. I said it at the time. Now, it sounds crazy at the time, but I don't care. I believed in it. And now, years later, and even with you go, oh, Big G's great in the postseason, he's not the problem. The problem is because they made that move to add in a player who was redundant with Aaron Judge, especially at the time. That was before Judge even was, you know, next level. That was way before Judge became the best baseball player that I've ever seen. And it was when Stan actually played the outfield. But they didn't need that. They needed to complement Judge more, not another power bat, an all or nothing bat. And Stan has never been, you know, people are going to say he's a Hall of Famer. I would not put him in the Hall of Fame. And he's had some good years with the Yankees, certainly some good postseasons. He has not lived up to what he was when they got him from the Marlins. He's been often injured. He cannot play the field. Now, he's been accountable, good locker room guy, good person. All those things, sure. But as far as the on-field production, nowhere near what they were getting into. And because they made that move, that prevented them from getting Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. And that's just one. How about the idea of not trading Anthony Volpe for Luis Castillo? At the time, I said I would have done it years ago. Go try to win a World Series. You clearly need pitching. Go get Luis Castillo. They said no. Not only did that prevent them from getting Castillo, which might have helped them win the World Series. We don't know. It's all hypothetical. But it also prevented them from getting one of the top shortstops of the 15 that were available in free agency that year. Corey Seager comes to mind. And now here we are 3 years later with Volpe, who's been nowhere near the expectations. You see the trickle-down effects of these moves? Spencer Jones last year. Didn't want to trade him for Corbin Burns. Yeah, I know Corbin Burns is hurt now, but you could have had Corbin Burns in your rotation a year ago. Maybe that would have been a difference. I don't know. Richard is in Melbourne, Florida. What's up, Richard?
Yeah, Sal, yes. Be honest with yourself. No way in hell you could give the Mets an A.
Why?
Because, listen to me carefully. They had a 20-plus game lead on the division. Hmm? They were virtually running away with the division.
They never had a 20-game lead on the division.
They had at least a 20-game lead at one time.
Richard, no, they didn't. The Mets never led the division by 20 games this year. You're okay. Like so you're telling me I got to give a different grade. You don't even know your facts. They never.
Okay. So tell me something. You're gonna give the Mets an A when they had, first of all, they had people were calling them, they were running away with the division. They had an 8-game lead on Phillies. Mm-hmm. Correct? Am I wrong?
I don't remember the exact lead. It wasn't 20, but they had a big lead over the Phillies. Sure. Okay.
Okay. So they're in second place now. How are you gonna give the Mets an A?
Well, what would
when
you
they're
grade
not
them?
Even in first place?
What would you grade them?
At least a B plus.
Oh, okay.
Or B minus.
So it's semantics. I told you.
Yeah, but you cannot give them an A.
Richard, here's the beauty of it. I could give them whatever I want.
You're being biased. You're a Mets fan. What are you going to say? Or ALZ?
That has nothing to do with it. No, I could. Oh, Richard, I got news for you. Are you just learning me? Like, have you listened to me at all or watched me on TV at all? It's okay if you haven't.
I seen you and I heard from you. Come on, man.
So then,
let's be real.
So then Richard, then you should know that if there's ever going to be somebody that's critical of the Mets, it's going to be me. So forget forget the bias stuff. So maybe there's actual reason why I'm giving them an A. So don't look at it and say, well, you're being biased, and thank you for the call. Don't look at it and say you're being biased. Look at it and say, well, why would this guy who always rips everybody and always has higher standards for everybody, why would he give the Mets an A for their first half? And you wouldn't even have to think about that if you just listened to what I said from 10 till about 10:17. And in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. You can listen to it again and again and again for free. There's reason to it. The Mets have exceeded all expectations. All expectations. Now, do expectations change in season? Sure. But even with that, they're one half game behind the Phillies. 3 weeks ago, the Mets were left for dead, or 2 weeks ago, left for dead after getting pummeled by the Pirates in Pittsburgh. Where everybody's like, oh, it's not going to work. And I was telling, relax. Me, the person who was once dubbed the mayor of Panic City by Bob Raceman. I told you, relax, they'll be fine. We've lived through god-awful bad baseball teams, poorly run teams, poorly managed teams, teams that had no players with the New York Mets. This is not one of them. So even after they get embarrassed and look bad with the Pirates, there's still reason to believe, oh, and by the way, they were going to get healthier. Look at what happened to the Mets rotation. Ravaged. Now, it's not an excuse. It's reality. And instead of folding, which they could have done, and we were like, well, you know what? The offense just didn't hit. They weren't built to pitch. Instead of folding, they went out there and they had the best pitching in baseball for an extended period. I don't even know where it's at right now because I really don't care about the numbers, but it was such a story that the Mets kept losing these guys left and right. They lost their best pitchers, and yet they still had the best ERA in the sport as a staff. So the reason I come up with the A is because of the results versus expectations. The expectations for the Mets, especially after some of the injuries, were not that they would be right there with the Phillies in the NL East and have the Braves buried. The expectation was that the Mets would be chasing the Phillies and the Braves. And that's not the case. That's all. I told you, it would have been an A-plus if Juan Soto could get a damn hit with runners in scoring position. We've got a jam-packed week here. Matter of fact, when I was in the minor leagues down at OR, you know, you guys just hear me on the fan, and it's like, oh, where'd this guy come from? He sucks. How'd he get a job? Yeah, no, you forget about the 20 years of work that I put in. But there was a period where I was down in the minor leagues at OR for, you know, when the Mets were over there 4 or 5 years. And I used to be the backup to Pete McCarthy. And every time, you know, the Mets were off, I would get to host the show. So this would be a huge week for me, All-Star Week. You know, there were no games, so I would host 4 straight days. Even though nothing's going on, hey, an opportunity to do some shows and get creative and have some fun with it. But then since I became a host at The Fan, I get to take those days off. I'm like, ah, this is a week for sure. I'm taking it off, All-Star Week. No games to react to. You know, they figure a nice time in July. You have some time off anyway. You might as well take a vacation. The reason why I'm here today is because of David Wright having his number retired this week. We've got a lot of fun stuff scheduled for you this week, whether it be here or at SNY. SNY, I told you about this last week. They're going to have the premiere of The Right Way Thursday night. I already saw it. It's must watch. Get you pumped up for the retirement on Saturday. But, you know, David Wright having his number retired on Saturday when the Mets return. They'll take on the Reds out at Citi Field on Friday night. Then the number will go up on Saturday. And that's a big deal, man. It's historic. Not just because, you know, the Mets don't do it often, but because they're doing it with a player who means so much to their franchise. Anyway, point is, that's why I'm here. And we're going to have a special week for you with guests. A lot of guests. Actually, fun guests, too. A couple of wrestling guests today. Brian Myers will join us at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Damian Priest is scheduled to join us. We're going to have some fun with those guys. By the way, Brian, big Mets fan. Damian Priest, big Yankees fan. So we'll have some fun with the Mets-Yankees talk with those two guys. And then we got plenty of David Wright-related guests the rest of the week for you. But either way, it should be a, look, I get it, All-Star break. You know, you got, and the whole point of telling that story was that Boone invited Joe Torre. Thursday, we'll be doing our yearly show from the Joe Torre Foundation golf outing. So we'll be able to talk to Joe Torre. And this year, we could ask him about him being asked to be a bench coach with Boone with the All-Star game. So the Yanks will be represented well. I know no Max Fried, which, you know, come on now. With the story yesterday that he called Tariq Skubal, hey, you want to start the game? Like, and everybody's making it like it's a nice thing. I get it. It is, but Who deemed Max Fried the guy to be calling Tariq Skubal and asking him if he wanted to start the game? Like, if it were me and one of my peers asked me that, the way that it was with Skubal and Fried, I'd be a little like, who are you making the call? I don't get it. Now, I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but the idea, like, oh, such class and gesture from Max Fried to offer up the All-Star Game start to Skubal. He did the right thing, but it shouldn't even been his place to do it. Aaron Boone, I'm assuming Boone gets to make this decision. And what, Boone was going to be biased and pick his guy even though Skubal deserved it? I mean, I'm sure that's probably what happened, but it should have been on Boone to call Skubal and say, hey, you want to start this game? You're the All-Star starter. Now, I know the story went that Fried called Skubal to see his interest, and I guess Fried would have participated in the All-Star game if he were going to start, being that it's in Atlanta, you know, he played with the Braves, whatever. But Fried thought himself that Skubal deserved to start the game. So if Skubal was interested, then Fried was going to let his manager know. And then the next thing you know, Boone calls him, offers him the start. But I get it. It's a nice thing. Like, let's not make it like Max Fried is some hero. He's a peer. Skubal should have been, it's the right thing to do. Skubal should have been named the starter. It's not anti-Max Fried. Skubal's been another level. He deserves it this year. I just, to me, that was a lot was made of that. Nice story, I guess. but it shouldn't be coming from, like, if I was Scuba, I would have felt odd that, you know, Fried's calling me like, yeah, I mean, I want to start, but don't you want to start too? Like, I don't understand. Are you making the decision? Like, Max Fried gets to make this decision? I'm sure what happened was Booney, and I don't know this, I'm just guessing here. Booney went to Fried and said, hey, I'm going to name you the starter. And Fried felt maybe embarrassed by that or like, eh, I don't know. Let's see what Scoobal thinks first because I think he deserves to start it, which is a good thing to do. But it just, I don't know, it's a little weird the way that they went about it. I would have had Boone make that first call. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Whatever's on your mind here, Mets and Yanks. Michael is calling from Tom's River. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Sal, how we doing today, man?
Good, how are you, Michael?
Good. I got 2 points, if you don't mind. No, I think we can all agree that the Yankees are very number-driven. But if they were to look at the stats from Jason Dominguez batting from, I believe, the right-hand side since May 24th, he's batting well over 300. So I don't understand what their concern is from the right-handed box. Is it just his defense? Is that what they're concerned
about? No. It's not his defense because that has nothing to do with him being moved down in the order against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, but he's batting well over 300 now from the. So is this?
Well, not on the whole year, and they're probably looking at the larger sample size. All I'm saying is, against the lefty yesterday, Aaron Boone messed with the lineup, moving Dominguez down behind Jazz. He had Goldschmidt leading off, and he had Bellinger too instead of Judge. It was working tremendously with Dominguez leading off, Judge number two, Bellinger three, Stanton four, Jazz five. Just leave it alone.
Right, 100%. I agree with that. Yep. And my second point is, I'm with you. I know you and BT were talking about Suarez. I'd rather go after someone like Key Brian Hayes. Plays a great third base if he's available. You know, he's batting around 240, and he's had three home runs, and he's younger. Give him more time to develop. I don't want to go after Suarez. I want to know what you think about that.
Yeah, I don't want Suarez either, Michael. Now, it's hard to say that, right? Because you look at it and say, oh, how can you not want a guy who's going to hit 30-plus home runs? It's not that I wouldn't want him on the team, and obviously he'd be better than Peraza's bat. It's that I don't think the Yankees need that. I'll give you a guy. You got a good look at him if you watch the Mets series this weekend. How about Mikel Garcia with the Royals? He just named to the All-Star team as a late injury replacement or whatever, but he's a solid big league player. I mean, obviously an All-Star player, but he hits with a high average, hitting .297. He's got 8 homers, so that's a big deterrent if you're the Yankees. Oh, only 8 home runs? What can we ever do with that? Well, he's a very good glove, and he puts the ball in play. He's a good bat. That would be appealing to me, a player like that, that got himself to the All-Star team with only hitting 8 home runs. Shows he's doing something right, hitting nearly .300, 40 ribbies, OPS over .800. Play good. Now, again, I don't know if the Royals are going to be buyers or sellers or not, but that's one guy that, you know, the Royals have been rumored to be sellers. And if they were sellers, would they trade Garcia? I don't know. But that's one, a player like that. I've told you, I would go get Arenado. Now, obviously, he's on the wrong side of his career. But I want a guy who could do a little bit of everything. I don't need 35 homers from third base. Yeah, you're not turning away the power, but I don't want McMahon. McMahon's a good glove. He's going to strike out a ton. I'd rather Arenado is going to put the ball in play. Hit for a high average, especially if the cost is equal. Billy is in Nutley. What's up, Billy?
Hey, how's it going? I just want to talk about Cashman and the Yankees. Maybe I'm crazy here, and I don't think they'll ever get rid of Cashman because he's been there 27 years. But why can't we bring Theo Epstein in here? And he'll change this whole team within 3 to 5 years, and we'll finally win a World Series again.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to maybe let the Theo Epstein dream go, at least for now. I don't know. See, that's part of the issue, right? When you look at it, and you brought up one guy who would get the Yankee fans excited about Epstein because of obviously what he did with the Red Sox and Cubs. But first would be, Billy, moving on from Cashman. And there's no reason to believe, and thank you for the call, no reason to believe the Yankees are going to do that at this point. They've had opportunities to do it over the years. They did not do it. Now, the counter would be anybody that you get, including Theo Epstein, while he would be more exciting and something fresh and new, whoever you bring in is not going to have the resume that Brian Cashman does. End of story. But that doesn't mean that it wouldn't be worth a discussion about change. Like, any time, and it's been a couple of times over the years, for me, definitively, 2021. That was the season that I would have made a change because it was the first time that the Yankees struggled in the regular season, where generally from that run from 2017 on, the issue was the postseason performance. The bats that were so dominant in the regular season, they were nowhere to be found in the playoffs. But in 2021, the Yankees weren't good in the regular season. That would have been the year that I would have moved on from both Cashman and Boone. They obviously didn't. Cashman was aggressive. He finally went and got the lefty bats that everybody was asking for with Rizzo and Gallo, and the Yankees lost in the wild card round or the wild card game to the Red Sox. And then have tried to build it back up ever since, obviously last year getting to the World Series. So sometimes in sports, actually a lot of times in sports, guys get fired because it's just time for a change. And Cashman has been here forever. And we can feel like it's time for a change and say that it's just not working. They can say, who's going to be better than what Brian Cashman has done? And how can you say it's not working when we make the playoffs almost every single year, when we win 90 games plus almost every single year, and 1 year ago we were in the World Series? Also, let's not pretend like the Yankees can't get back to the World Series this year. It's weird with them, man. They're held to such a high standard that it's almost impossible to live up to. But the one glaring absence in the last, 15 years is a World Series win. My issue would be even less about the World Series win and just more about I don't believe in the way that they like to build teams. Like the idea that they would want no part of Nolan Arenado because he's probably not a power guy or whatever past his prime, sure, but he might be the perfect fit for now. The idea that they always have chased the launch angle, all or nothing, just bludgeoning you to death. All right, if we strike out, no big deal. All right, if we don't play defense, no big deal. Not to mention the lack of developing their young players outside of Aaron Judge. Like there are many fundamental issues that I have with the way the Yankees organization has operated here. The results, however, would favor them outside of winning a World Series, which I'm sure you've heard this before. Many people tell you it's hard to do. Yeah, we get it. It's hard to do. So we're begging for you to do it. Hard to do. Yankees made it look easy in the 90s and getting to a World Series, it seems, every year, even in the 2000s. But I haven't won one since 2009. Also, they're not spending their way to the top where they used to not only just have the highest payroll. The last time they won a World Series, they had a $50 million payroll higher than the next team. But it's also about absolving the mistakes. LeMahieu shouldn't have been here this year. He should have been gone 2-3 years ago. Hicks, Gallo, they stuck with those guys way too long. In the old days, that was part of the Yankee appeal, is that they could just, hey, we made a mistake, see ya. Eat the money and move on, go spend it on the next guy. They're reluctant to do that now, and I do think that's held them back a little bit.